Hey guys, just want to take time again to thank you for listening, as always, to the podcast. It really does go a long way, and I know I put out as many episodes as I can by myself with co-hosts when I can, as I can, and I do apologize for little sponsored segment things that come up about Anchor and everything like that, but it does help support as little as it is. It does help support just, you know, a little bit. It really does go a long way. It's nothing crazy, nothing major, but it's the start of something. It's the start of something that I'm passionate about and I enjoy genuinely. So those of you that listen and keep coming back and keep listening, thank you so much. I do apologize about the ad that is going to follow this. It's about a minute long, so if you want to skip to the 2 to 3 minute mark, that's where the podcast starts. But guys, thank you again so much for love and support. Enjoy. And I apologize, my mic was muted. So, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Thanks for coming by, however it is you're listening or watching. This is another episode, my apologies, of the Sports Euphoria podcast. I'm going to be reviewing week 6 and also going over some waiver wire ads a day early. I didn't do my normal review on Monday, but I'm here today and I'm going to get to my waivers early as well. And I also do want to talk about the hot take that I have and hot take that I had put out on social media yesterday or Sunday in regards to Trayvon Diggs. I have and yesterday or Sunday
in regards to Trayvon Diggs.
That's awkward. Okay, so real quick. King, thanks for letting me know. I didn't realize that. So real quick, I am a Giants fan, and I am talking about Trayvon Diggs from the Cowboys. I had tweeted this out right before I was watching on Hulu, so I didn't get to see it. I was behind, but I had tweeted out after his interception that what did I tweet out about it? I'll get word for word. I don't want to misconstrue anything. I think I put it on Instagram. I stated that Trayvon Diggs, my hot take is Trayvon Diggs is not as good as people think he is. Hot take, Diggs from Dallas is not as good of a corner as everybody thinks. His INTs are more right place, right time than good defense. So a little bit of, you know, got some comments and stuff. We had some good dialogue going, but I do just want to say that I truly, you know, am not the highest on him. I'm not saying he's not good. I'm not saying he's bad. I just think that his numbers are inflated with his interceptions because he's just been right place, right time. And if you look on Instagram, whatever the case may be, somebody said that they've watched every snap of the Cowboys and right place, right time is part of being a cornerback. Playing cornerback in the NFL is basically like follow leader. You're following the wide receiver. You're recognizing a play. A lot of people do that. You see a play happening. You see the quarterback release a ball. You go to the ball. If you have your eyes on the quarterback, I mean, we've all watched tennis. You watch the ball where it goes. You watch football. You watch the ball in the air. We can do that. So, okay, like I get that. You have to obviously not get blown by, all that good stuff. However, I do think that a lot of Diggs' interceptions have been dropped by receivers, tipped, Hail Marys, quarterbacks overthrown, big leads, taking a shot, trying to get your team back in the game, double coverage, he's just the one that gets it. Not denying he's a professional athlete. I'm not. That's something completely different. I get that. But I just want to take a look. I have his interceptions up here. And I just want who's ever here to take a look. And if anybody, again, like if you're listening to the podcast, I do interact with Facebook and Twitch. So if you hear me, you know, engaging with viewers that way, that's what it is. If you do want to be able to interact with me, you can come follow me on Twitch and follow me on Facebook as well. So, real quick, King is somebody who's been coming to a lot of the streams before he goes to the gym, usually. I will let you know about Danny Dimes. I'll break that down a little bit. But yeah, so real quick, this is from week one. This is all the interceptions. It's like a minute and 3 seconds. If you want to see it, it'll be on YouTube. You can watch it. You can Google it and find these videos. You can rewatch my podcast on Twitch live in the VODs, however you want to do it. VODs, videos on demand. So I'm going to hit play real quick and we can watch this.
Balls at the 20-yard line, start this drive here. Off the play, fakes it up the screen, and it's going to be range.
So real quick, I think it was Rojo. I'm not sure, or it could have been Fournette from the Bucks. Drops the ball. May have been thrown a little high by Brady. Diggs is converting on it. He sees it. He sees it to screen pass. Again, he's a professional athlete. He understands these things. He breaks on the football. He's breaking to make the tackle. It gets tipped. He's there. He recognized the play and he's there. I'm not denying his talent and recognizing the play. But like I said, anybody could recognize that. You see the lineman. You know it's a screen. They're giving up the pressure. Oh, it's a screen. People are yelling screen. You turn around and you run up. Okay. You don't turn around, but you're there. You run up. If the receiver catches it, that's one less interception for Diggs.
Third play, it's Herbert.
This interception by him to Keenan Allen was a good interception. Good coverage. It was a post pattern slash slant. He had underneath position. He was able to jump the route.
You know, Herbert maybe thought that he could have gotten it to him quicker. He didn't, but this was a good interception. Again, not denying that. Okay. Third interception against the Eagles. He fell down. I'm sorry. Trayvon Diggs was a wide receiver, converted to cornerback in college, cried about it, talked to his brother, and figured it out how to, you know, should I do it? Should I do it? So he's a wide receiver by trade. He has soft hands. He can catch the ball. You're also a professional athlete. Getting paid millions of dollars, you should be able to catch football, unlike Jamal Adams. Anyway, Devontae Smith falls down. All Trayvon has to do is catch the ball. Wide receiver skills take over. He catches the football. That's interception number three. So far, we have one interception that I see that was skill-based or, you know, well-played by him.
First of all, it's picked off. It's Trayvon Diggs down the sideline. Nobody's going to catch him.
Darnold pressure steps in.
1, 2, 3. Triple coverage. Darnold was trying to throw the ball. Again, I will give him the benefit of the doubt on this one. That this was, he stepped underneath the route and intercepted the football. Three interceptions. You know, if we were to break it down a little bit. Half speed.
Steps in.
He's right there. He steps up. You know, you see the football. You undercut the route. Again, I'll give him that one. Nice play, you know. Getting pressured. It's a pressure pick. You know, things like that. But again. Understood what was happening. Read Sam Darnold's eyes. And he's covering. I think he's covering Robbie Anderson here. I don't even know. I don't think it's DJ Moore. It was Robbie Anderson. DJ Moore actually, I believe, torched him. Oh, if he's even covering their top receiver. I don't even know anymore. Yeah, King of Jamal Flander.
Diggs has another one. Trayvon Diggs looking for blocking.
Third and three. Blitz coming.
Again. Understands the coverage. I get that. So we're on, this is going to be interception number four. So far, I think we're on three of them that were good plays. But again, receiver cuts, Sam Darnold's looking at him. He understands, you know, what's going on here. Again, I'm not denying that. Nice juggling catch. He had possession. Underthrows him. So Mike Glennon, the backup quarterback, underthrows C.J. Board. Trayvon Diggs is trailing C.J. Board, and it was an underthrow. Trailing, underthrow. So he's behind the receiver. He got beat. And then he intercepts the football. But let's take a look real quick. Because Board tries to stop to catch the ball to readjust. Now, Trayvon's not going to be called for defensive pass interference here because he's playing the ball, but he does bump into Board, pushing him forward away from the football, and then he catches it. But again, an underthrow by Glennon. If Daniel Jones is in there, he hits him in stride, and he's beat, and it's a touchdown.
And hit. Diggs has got another. Number six on the year.
And second and 15.
Oh, look at this. Interception. Kendrick Bourne. Drop the football. Again, he's in position because he's following. He's covering the guy he's supposed to. Of course, you're going to be in position. I could do that too. I'm just not fast enough. I think the interception streak should stop like now. But I do want to show something. Where he
an interception, they remember the one that loses the game.
Jones. Deep ball. And
somehow they blew the count.
This is the safety's fault. Diggs got beat by Kendrick Bourne. Fast guy. Double move, fell for it. He also gave up a touchdown earlier this game against the Patriots to Jacoby Myers that was called back for an offensive holding penalty, and he got torched on that play too. So I just really want to understand where people are gathered. Just because you have the interceptions doesn't necessarily mean it's great coverage. And is he shadowing the best receiver? Is he taking things away? No, people are challenging him, which is, I get it. You're giving him the opportunities, but if the receivers aren't catching the football and they're being tipped or dropped or whatever, yeah, it gives him an opportunity to catch it. So he catches it. The ball's being like, you know, slowed down reaction. I get that. Again, former receiver. He's catching the football on drop passes. So out of the 6 or 7 interceptions, 3 of them were actually good interceptions. It's just frustrating because you get enamored with a number, and then it just makes you believe that because he has tons of interceptions, that he's a great shutdown corner. And that doesn't necessarily always mean that. Excuse me, and this is just my soapbox. But, you know, there are very... Xavier Howard had 10. You know, Stephon Gilmore, Kyle Fuller, all these different people. Who else? So Diggs leads with 7, which again is very good. Usually that's the average. But Cromartie wasn't a shutdown corner. The Champ Bailey, something Samuel had a good understanding. They took more risks, jumped more routes. He's jumped 1. You know, Charles Woodson again, like the Kyle Arrington had interceptions at one point. Tim Jennings, like these people had these interceptions. Glover Quinn, like Devontae Casey, like that doesn't necessarily mean you just lead interceptions. They're challenging him. He has 7 interceptions in 6 games for a reason. Nobody's afraid of him. It makes no sense as to why you're not afraid of Trayvon Diggs. He has not shut down a receiver. Like, okay, so people are like, oh, you know, like Mike Evans. Dude, Tom Brady is 44 years old and is just going to take what you give him. You're not going to stop Antonio Brown. You're not going to stop Gronkowski. You're not going to stop Chris Godwin. You're not going to stop Fournette. You're not going to stop Bernard. So he's just not going to, he's just going to take and see whatever you're giving him. Okay. But who has he shut down? Kadarius Toney put him on ice skates. Like, he got beat by Jacoby Myers and Kendrick Bourne. DJ Moore as well. Like, the interception against the Panthers, one of them was against Robbie Anderson, who has more drops than I think he does in his whole career this year. So to say that especially when people say that they've watched every snap, to tell me that they've watched every snap and yet more of his interceptions were because he jumped the route. We saw 3 that were because of good defense. The rest were tip balls and the receiver fell down. Again, like let's see you up here again for multiple years when they don't hear your name. Like when people think you're done. Like, how many times is Nnamdi Asamoah's name up here? Who? Exactly. Because they knew not to throw to his side. Just doesn't happen. How many times is Darrell Revis up here? Exactly. Because you just don't challenge it. People aren't afraid of Trayvon Diggs yet. So that's my hot take. And that's the supporting evidence to my hot take. And it's my opinion. And we're all entitled to opinions. And you can say, you know, if it's biased because I'm a Giants fan, it's not. Like James Bradberry, I think, led the league in pass deflections last year. Now look at him this year. You know what I mean? So it doesn't mean anything, but I just, again, I'm not a coach. I'm not a scout. I'm not a nothing. Somebody who enjoys the sport, and I try to understand what's going on. And I personally don't think that you're challenging him. He has 7 interceptions in 6 games because people are challenging him and receivers fell down. Mike Glennon, a backup quarterback, didn't have enough oomph in his arm to throw it to board. If he does, it's in stride. Maybe Diggs trips him up. So let's be real. Like, for right now, I don't see it. Want, you know, he doesn't have to prove me wrong, but, you know, I'll eat my words if it ends up coming back. See what happens. But till then, not really feeling it. Anyway, that's been my soapbox for the first 18 minutes of the podcast. Thank you. With that being said, we're going to review real quick. King, I'll let you know about Danny Dimes, because I'm going to review that game right now. So I'll touch that for you in case you got to go to the gym. Rams Giants, not really going to touch too much on this game other than Matthew Stafford's a stud. Cooper Kupp, 9 catches, 130 yards, and Darrell Henderson. They just all showed up. Daniel Jones should not have played this game, I don't think. Threw the ball 51 times. He didn't know where he was last week in Dallas. offensive line was in shambles. They were like, it was like a revolving door of both them and the defensive line. And there's them and who was playing at the given point in time in the game. But yeah, it was just an absolute disaster. Kadarius Toney looked like he was going to be having a good game. On the first drive, he was targeted three times, had three catches for 36 yards, ends up leaving the game with an ankle injury. It's feared right now that it's worse than what they thought, which you don't want to hear, especially because he has been so electrifying. Giants haven't had a playmaker like him since Odell Beckham, and to compare him to Odell in their rookie years, they're really super talented. I get it, he punched a cowboy, or tried to, he missed, you know, super hot-headed. If he didn't have the anger problems he had in college, he would have been drafted a lot earlier than when the Giants took him at 20. So I definitely think it's a steal. And if he can, you know, stay the course and not, you know, fly off the handle, talented player for a long time. If you should have picked him up last week. I believe I talked about it last week. If not, good luck. I have him in a dynasty league. I drafted him. So I'm very fortunate about that. Thankfully, I benched him this week because I just didn't trust the injury. And then real quick, Daniel Jones, they play the Panthers next week. Stephon Gilmore is playing next week for them. So I am a little hesitant to maybe start Jones if there's other quarterbacks out there that you want to try to start. I know Fitzpatrick might be coming back this week. Tua Tagovailoa was really good as well. I think the time away may have helped him a little bit to kind of understand the game a little bit more and, you know, watch it from afar. Gotcha, King. But for quarterbacks, if you're looking for a replacement for Daniel Jones, I would definitely take a look at Tua. Trevor Lawrence has been playing more and more consistent as well in a yardage department. Hopefully he can get more touchdowns. He's another flyer as well to look at. When I preview, I'll take a look as well as to who, actually Jacksonville's on a bye next week, so I take that back. Jacksonville and Miami, I think, are both on byes. So I take that back. You should still pick up Tua though, if you can. Kirk Cousins is another one. If you can pick up Kirk Cousins over Danny Dimes. Wait, are they on bye next week? I don't think so. So many people on bye next week. And Carson Wentz, actually. I do like Carson Wentz a lot. He's been looking like his old Philly form. So take a look at that. Derek Carr has been lighting it up as well. So those are some people. And I like Mac Jones as well. I'll go into more depth in a little bit about the quarterbacks, though, since I was told that he's not going to be going out tonight. So, as a Giants game. Also, I kind of was off on Daniel Jones. I thought he would have a better game if I played him to start. Toney, I said, you know, fire him up. I was off on them too. Definitely wasn't the best week for some of my calls this week in regards to who you should start, who you should sit. So my apologies there. It was kind of a off week, I guess you'd say. Chargers didn't do anything. It was just crazy. It was just kind of like a crazy, crazy week. But I don't know. We'll see. I did do the Rams Giants first because I have them favorited, so they pop up first. But Jaguars Dolphins, Tua looked really good, 329 yards, two touchdowns. Robinson obviously doing his thing. I've been talking about Gesicki for a little while. I like that he did well. He's playing a lot of receiver, I guess you'd say, 115 yards, eight catches. Tua sees that he likes him because week one he didn't do anything. I don't even think he had a target in week one. But, you know, you're still missing a lot of people. And the best part of having a young quarterback and your best safety blanket is your tight end. So I definitely think that these two are going to it's not too bad. Waddle, he had 13 targets, 10 catches for 70 yards. He's getting shorter throws. From college, he's averaging like 49 yards, I think, in the, like, 49 yard plays for touchdowns. I don't know. But if you're in a dynasty league, you should have Jalen Waddle. And if you're in a full PPR, Jalen Waddle as well. And I like Gesicki as well, especially now that Tua thinks that has shown that he can use him and has some faith in him. It's very good to know. James Robinson did James Robinson things. Not surprised there. Marvin Jones, good to see, seven catches, 100 yards and a touchdown. I did go up against Jones this week. I got a little nervous, and I'll show you guys why in my dynasty league. Jamal Agnew is another good guy to take a look at as a wide receiver. They like Chenault. They've been using him as well. Dan Arnold, I believe, was hurt, so you want to take a look at that. But they don't really have anybody else. Laquan Treadwell was a first-round pick a couple years back at Louisville. He's a speedster. You know, but I like Jamal Agnew. He's very under-rostered. I don't have him on my list. Just seeing him now, I thought about it. But Jamal Agnew is somebody to keep an eye on. I do like him. So he had 6 targets, 5 catches, 78 yards. He's a weapon. You get the ball. Like, he's a gadgety type player. He does their kick return. So, you know, you get the ball to him in the open field. Boom. But yeah. Then we have the Packers and the Bears. Nothing too crazy. Aaron Rodgers under 200 yards, 2 touchdowns. You know, Devontae Adams, 4 catches, 89 yards. A subpar Devontae Adams game. Bears played tough. It's a 10-point game. The big takeaway here is Khalil Herbert. Definitely showed you he's a runner. 19 carries, 97 yards, and a touchdown. Also had 2 catches for 15 yards. Damien Williams should be back next week against the Rams or the Bucks. They play the Bucks next week. So I do like... If nobody picked up Khalil Herbert for some random reason in your league, pick him up for sure. He's definitely worth it. But I mean, if you have Montgomery, maybe, because once Montgomery comes back, I think it's going to just be Montgomery again. But next week they play the Bucks. You can't run on the Bucks. So I like Damien Williams a little bit more there, but I'll talk about that next on Friday, Thursday or Friday. But yeah, you know, AJ Dillon, 13 carries, 59 yards, really cut into Aaron Jones. This might be a split backfield. They really like AJ Dillon, but Aaron Jones, I don't understand why they do this. Aaron Jones is super talented. Also had 4 catches, 34 yards and a touchdown. So, you know, that's always good to see too. But Adams, like I said, subpar game, just no touchdowns. He had 4 catches, 89 yards, not a terrible day in PPR, you know, 12.9 points in decimal scoring leagues. Allen Robinson, 7 targets. So you like to see that, but you're just waiting for something better to happen. He threw the ball 27 times. I mean, Darnell Mooney had 8 targets, but you'd like to see the fact he threw the ball 27 times. 15 of them went to Robinson and Mooney, but Mooney did out target him and out catch him. Robinson just had more yards. So I will talk about that King too in a sec. Give me one sec. And if you hear something in the background, our cats are in the bedroom with me. We just got them fixed. So they have the cones of shame on if you hear any noise or scratching. Bengals Lions, Jared Goff, pick up. If you're in 2 quarterback league, you might want to pick up the backup to the Lions, 'cause he might be playing soon. Joe Burrow looked really good. 3 touchdowns, 271 yards. Jamar Chase, no touchdowns, but 4 catches for 97. Mixon had a really good game. It's really good to see. 18 for 94. Also had 5 catches for 59. Both running backs had touchdowns, him and Chris Evans. Uzoma and Auden Tate had touchdowns as well. I still like Samaje Perine over Evans. He had COVID, though, so unfortunately he was unable to play, but I do like Perine a little bit better. Tyler Boyd, 1 for 7. You know, if people were starting him with Higgins back, I wouldn't be starting Boyd if you don't have to. If you're in 14 to 16 team leagues, obviously, but you could probably drop him with the waivers coming up. T. Higgins, you know, 6 targets, just missed some. So it's good to see for Higgins, for sure. DeAndre Swift... You're just really hoping for catches at the end of the game. I mean, he had 13 carries for 24 yards, 1.8 carry, but the Bengals are a good team. Hockenson, finally good to see him kind of do something, 8 for 74. I talked about Amon-Ra St. Brown. They gotta play somebody else other than Jared Goff. Like, you hate to see it. Sometimes first round, number one overall picks just don't pan out for you. They just don't pan out for you, and it's really, really sad to see, but it happens. It does happen for sure. So what are you going to do? Texans Colts. Well, you could almost probably say Davis Mills goes to light up the Patriots and then can't do a damn thing against the Colts. Go figure, right? One thing to take a look at, depending on your leagues, is Mark Ingram as well. He had 18 carries for 73 yards. Brandon Cooks had 13 targets, and 9 of them were caught, 89 yards. Nico Collins, deep sleeper, especially if you're in dynasty leagues. He's back 4 for 44. So it's just good to see some stuff. But I think if you're looking for a running back, it is definitely Mark Ingram. He's shown you he can play. And Tyrod Taylor is supposed to be coming back as well. So if for some reason he was dropped in any of your leagues, look at him as a quarterback, because Davis Mills is just too inconsistent. It's like every other game for him. Carson Wentz threw the ball 20 times, completed 11 of them. Out of those 11 passes, two of them were touchdowns. One to Paris Campbell, one to Mo Alley Cox. Talked about Mo Alley Cox. Picking him up as tight ends. Yes, he had one catch, 28 yards and a touchdown. PPR, it's about 9 to 10 points. So you'll take it at a tight ends for what's been going on so far this year. T.Y. Hilton, good to see him back. Did have a quad injury, 4 for 80. Paris Campbell did have a 51-yard catch for a touchdown and then left the game with an ankle injury, and it could be season-ending. Poor guy, hate to see it. Look for some more Michael Pittman. Look for some more Nyheim Hines, because he is a good pass catcher and can run routes. They may use him more in the wide receiver role, so take a look at Nyheim Hines if you can. Carson Wentz, I also like him as a streamer. He's looking like his old self again. Not that he, you know, like MVP type self. He's feeling healthy. He's getting the system. It's his old coach. Old, you know, you have some familiar. He's familiar with the plays, with the offensive playbook. So, where are we now? Washington, Kansas City. Nothing too crazy here. Again, you know, just kind of the usual shebang. Patty Mahomes, 397, two TDs, two INTs. The INTs came in the first half. One was Tyreek Hill's fault. I think he's just forcing it. I really do. I really think that he's trying to do so much for his team right now that he's trying to make plays that he doesn't have to make. And I think once he stops doing that, they'll have more and more success. Darrell Williams, great play. If you had CEH, he's the guy. CEH had a Darrell Williams problem. I talked about this last week. Darrell Williams did not have a CEH problem. CEH had a Darrell Williams problem. He was getting the important carries. The important plays was him, not CEH. And they like Darrell Williams. So keep in mind. You could pick up McKinnon, but you're not picking up McKinnon. I'm going to sneeze. Give me 2 seconds. So, Travis Kelce, 8 for 99. Tyreek Hill, 9 catches on 12 targets. And Kelce had 11 targets. With no CEH, you're going to see them carrying a lot more of the load. So, take a look at that. You're going to start them, though, every week. Nothing too crazy out of them. You would have hoped that Kelce could have gotten a touchdown. But it is what it is. I have Kelce in a tight end premium league. So, every 7 yards is 1 point. So, he had a good game for us. 22 points, I think, in my one league. You're playing J.D. McKissic. If you have him, you should have picked him up with the Antonio Gibson news. Obviously, if you don't have Gibson, you're probably not going to start McKissic. I mean, if you had Gibson, you're probably not going to start McKissic this week, which you did week 6. But if you had McKissic and you didn't have Gibson, I would have felt good starting him because the reports coming out about his stress fracture in his shin, this is Antonio Gibson, were not promising. I was watching on Twitter. I was trying to pay attention. I was in a really bad spot in my dynasty league where Saquon was out. I needed a running back. All my other running backs are on IR. I'll show you my team again a little later. King, this one's going to be for you when I get there. So I was trying to trade Cortland Sutton. I would have traded Emmanuel Sanders for McKissic. I would have traded because I feel like they have better value because Gibson's in front of McKissic and he's game flow dependent, where Sanders is going to get his regardless. Cortland Sutton will get his regardless. I'm trying like anything because I need a running back. I only had Saquon and Chase Edmonds. So I'm like, I can't just take a zero. So I'll tell you what I did. But McLaurin, I'm starting to get a little worried. He does have a hamstring problem. And against this bad defense, I really thought that Heinicke was going to be able to do something, and he did nothing. He threw for under 200 yards. Throwing for under 200 yards on 39 attempts is not the greatest thing in the world. He was averaging under 5 yards an attempt. So I don't know if that's more of the Chiefs defense finally stepping up, or if I don't know. Or if he's just bad, we'll see. Fitzpatrick could play, so monitor that if you have Heinicke. I have Heinicke in my one league as well, with him and Daniel Jones and Jalen Hurts. So I may be starting Jones and Hurts next week. We'll see. Don't want to start Jones, but I need points. Superflex. And I'll talk about Ricky Seals-Jones in my waiver wire part of the podcast. Next, we have Cleveland and Arizona. Cleveland and Arizona. Baker Mayfield hurts his labrum. Bad on a sack by J.J. Watt. So he landed right on it with his arm. Sorry. I have seasonal allergies based on the climate outside in New Jersey, so it's just kind of weird right now. I don't really know why I'm sneezing. Kareem Hunt left the game late in the game, and he's on the IR, and Nick Chubb's out for Thursday's game. D'Ernest Johnson is the running back to have if you need him for a week. Not happy about it. But if you need him, he's a running back. I don't think he's a good player. I just think he's a body. And that's what a lot of people have been saying. At this point, with this bye week, with all these teams that are on bye, you need him. He's a body. He's warm. Plug him in and play him. Odell had 8 targets for 5 catches, 79 yards. He did leave a couple times. Go to the tent, but he came back out. Keep an eye on Demetric Felton. He's a running back, but he has no carries this year, I believe. But they use him as a receiver. So in PPR, he's an option in deeper leagues because he runs routes. I want to say in week 2, he had a really big game when people went down. So keep an eye on him. Landry's eligible to come off IR this week, and Odell is just hit or miss if he's going to be hurt. So he's just somebody to keep in mind in case Landry still misses more time and in case Odell goes down. Donovan Peoples-Jones. I'm just going to gloat again right now because like I feel like my dynasty team's set for years to come. I didn't start him, obviously. Why would I start him? But he's coming off back-to-back 2 good weeks. He had double-digit points last week, and then this week he just had 20-something points. 4 catches, 101 yards, 2 touchdowns, 5 targets. Caught a Hail Mary for a second touchdown at the end of the first half, and it caught another pass earlier. The kid can play. He's tall, big body, got some speed. Depending on what they decide to do with Landry and Beckham in the future, if you're in a dynasty league, this is a guy to have and pick up if he should not be on the waiver wire. If he is, please pick him up. Please pick him up. In redrafts, it really depends on what happens with Landry and Beckham. But depending on what they do, the Browns this year, you know, just keep an eye on that. If, you know, cause just saying, I like him. Michigan fan too, came from Michigan, but yeah, no, he is, Mike, the number 2 receiver right now. I do believe Landry is eligible to come back. I don't know if he will. And then you have Beckham. So with that going on, he could bump down. But again, it looks like Baker likes him and feels comfortable with him, especially, you know, coming off a double digit performance in fantasy and PPR for week 5, and then coming back and doing what he did in week 6. You love to see it. You know, again, like I said, big body, quick. In redrafts, if you can stash him, I would recommend picking him up because Beckham, you don't know when he's going to get hurt. And Landry, you know, he doesn't miss many games, but Landry's that slot guy where Jones can extend the field a little bit and take the top off of a defense a little bit better than Landry can. Excuse me. So, and then for the Cardinals, I got very fortunate with the Cardinals with Chase Edmonds at least getting me like 8 points before he was done for the game. Don't know really why. He did have an injury to his shoulder going into the game, so that may have been a precaution. James Conner at 16 carries for 71 yards. I mean, James Conner. Steelers didn't keep him for a reason. Like, the story's great with him. Everything's fantastic about James Conner. Oh, I like it. He goes to Pitt. You know, he goes to Pittsburgh University. Drafted by the Steelers. Super cool story. But Murray, you know, had a good game. Nothing, you know, he lit it up in touchdowns, but not super big yardage. AJ Green had a nice game. You know, 79 yards touchdown. Christian Kirk, 75 yards touchdown. DeAndre Hopkins had a nice game, but it's very misleading. He had 3 catches on 4 targets for 55 yards and 2 touchdowns. Misleading to the point where you would have thought, like, if you saw his fantasy numbers, you'd have been like, oh man, he got like 8-9 catches for like a buck 25 and a touchdown. No, he made some really shifty moves to get into the end zone on a touchdown that helped his numbers. Again, it's DeAndre Hopkins. You're not benching DeAndre Hopkins, but it's almost one of those things like, what's going on? Like, he's always played hurt, but he's, you know, but they also have a lot more weapons. Like, you see Green, Kirk, Hopkins, Moore, Edmonds, Connor, and they got Zach Ertz now. So keep that in mind a little bit. I have Christian Kirk in one league, probably going to look to move him because it's just a consistency. Like, he's just not super consistent with all these weapons. So we'll see what happens. Hopefully Chase Edmonds can come back next week and do something. I think it was a precaution with his shoulder. He may have, you know, just got like a stinger type thing. The Browns are definitely sinking real quick. The Steelers had a nice win on Sunday for sure against the Seahawks. You know, TJ Watt's just a different beast. But I also am not a huge fan of Baker Mayfield either. Have not been a huge fan of Baker Mayfield. He reminds me of Mark Sanchez. The game manager type of quarterback that is going to not win you games, but not lose games for you. But he's like, so it's going to be very defensive dependent, these games. And you also have to remember that Baker Mayfield is not this general manager's quarterback. He did work for the Browns when he was drafted, but he is not his quarterback. So I think Baker is more in his head than he should be. And I just really hope that he stays with the Browns, because I think if he stays with the Browns and they build around him with the team that they have in the defense and the running game, they can be good. They can win. I don't think they win a Super Bowl with Baker, unfortunately, but I think they, you know, made the playoffs, things like that. But if Baker wants crazy money, you're not on that level, dude. So just kind of like chill. But again, Dearness Johnson, just for a week. I didn't think Chubb was going to play this week anyway, because it's a short week. It's a Thursday game. You're better off just, you know, just sitting him out and seeing what happens. Next, Broncos Raiders. Definitely surprised by the Raiders this game. I definitely didn't think they were going to play well, given the circumstances that were going on. They did come out and play motivated, though, which is, you love to see it. I just didn't think they were going to do a crazy amount of stuff with, like, you know, everything was going on. The Broncos, they are who we thought they were. They were not a good team. They should have lost to the Giants if they didn't take that long drive. Couple other games, you know, when they were 3-0, shouldn't have won. Teddy Bridgewater's a good quarterback, but again, it reminds me of Baker. He's above average Baker. Like, I'd go Bridgewater's up there, and I'd rather have Bridgewater over Baker Mayfield. But he had a good fantasy game, minus the 3 interceptions. But again, you're forcing the ball a little bit. You're down, like, 31-10 at the third quarter. Like, you're just going to be chucking the ball down the field. He is a little injured with a foot, but he should be able to play next week. If you need a quarterback, you can go with Bridgewater as well. Carr, though, looked very good. Josh Jacobs, 16 carries for 53. He had the touchdown, kind of helped him. But look at Kenyon Drake. So you have to realize John Gruden's not coaching the team anymore. So you kind of have to see who this coach likes now, and that's who's going to get the ball. So Kenyon Drake, 8.5 yards a carry, 4 for 34, catches the ball, great speed, 2 for 39 and a touchdown. Like, he had 73 yards and 2 touchdowns in total. Like, that's a great game for him. He put up a lot of points. Henry Ruggs is another one. So Henry Ruggs, you're taking Henry Ruggs for the Deshaun Jackson type of player. The ball was definitely spread out a little bit more. You saw Darren Waller get a lot more targets and catches, which is good to see because he's been a little inconsistent. But Derek Carr really spread the ball around. So Ruggs went up and he got a couple balls that you didn't expect him to get. I wouldn't have expected him to get. He's more of that burner, Deshaun Jackson type, stretch the field, see what happens. He's just going to run faster than you, and Carr's got a can of an arm. So we're just going to play pitch and catch. So if you have Ruggs, it was good to see him you know, get catches, run better, things like that. He's not just a straight line runner for right now, and it's good to see. Broncos, Javonte Williams, Melvin Gordon. I think it's a problem. I think it's good, Mike. I really do. It's hard to tell right now. He's been coaching, I think they said, for 39 years, and he hasn't had a head coaching position in the NFL. They played motivated, and I think they're going to play well for, you know, this coach. If he does well and they finish well, I think it's a good audition for him to give him the opportunity. He would know the players. I believe he's a special teams coach, so he knows a lot of the players and what all of their strengths are. Similar to like a Joe Judge, but when Joe Judge was on the Patriots, he understands what every player's strength is and what they're good at and what they excel in, which is why I think you're going to see a lot of Kenyon Drake, because he's, you know, that kind of player. I wouldn't be surprised, given the circumstances, if they decide to move forward Eric Bieniemy from Kansas City, which hurts to say that, because I would think if they were to, I think Eric Bieniemy is, should have gotten a head coaching job a couple years ago. But I don't want to see them hire somebody just to prove a point. I want them to hire somebody because it fits. And I think Bieniemy fits. I think you could see Derek Carr's a very talented quarterback. They have a lot of weapons there. You know, you have your Tyreek Hill type speedster in Henry Ruggs. You have your Travis Kelce type tight end in Darren Waller. You have a better running back, I would say, than CEH. So it's very, very comparable. So if you were to do something, I wouldn't be surprised if they go the Eric Bieniemy route out of Kansas City. But Devontae Williams, Melvin Gordon, they either have to move away from Gordon and trade him to a team that needs somebody, or just be like, look, dude, you're not cutting it, and we're just giving the ball to Williams. They're still averaging the same amount of yards per carry, but I don't know. I just think Javonte Williams is just a more explosive player. Noah Fant had a very good game as well. Targeted 11 times. Cortland Sutton targeted 14. Tim Patrick had a touchdown as well. Kind of saved his day. He's been consistent. 3 for 42. So 13, 14 points in PPR. I was shopping Sutton around in my one league. Nobody wants him. Don't know why. It's another 20-point performance out of him. Just saying. He's coming off an ACL injury. You got to give him some time. He's a top performer. He had over 1,000 yards in his second season. He had a good, you know, his rookie season. Let me see who they play again. I got to double check, King. I'll let you know. Noah Fant, though, it was good to see him again kind of break out a little bit. 9 for 97 and a touchdown. It's good to see in PPR, about 20 points per se. Love to see it. Love to see it. They play the Browns. I would probably, it's the Thursday game. He has the foot injury. It scares me a little bit. It does scare me a little bit. Defenses tend to be a little bit more tired, so I could see maybe, you know, Sutton getting some targets. Judy's due back, but I don't think Judy's going to play this week. But they have a very good front four. I don't think they're going to be able to run the ball a ton. So, you know, over other options, I would recommend Bridgewater, depending on who else you have. I probably would... Bridgewater over Jones, if that's a question. Bridgewater over Daniel Jones. So, yeah. Next, we have... Dallas, New England. Matt Ryan. If you have Matt Ryan, get Matt Ryan all the way through and through. Matt Ryan. They're playing the Dolphins, I think. I don't know if they're going to have their cornerbacks back. So Matt Ryan, for sure. And they get Calvin Ridley back. Do it. And possibly Russell Gage. All right. So the lovely Cowboys and the lovely Patriots game. Mac Jones is somebody else that I like as well. Mike, if you're still here and you want, I went on a little rant about Trayvon Diggs at the beginning of the podcast. Damien Harris looked really good for New England. 18 carries, 101 yards, and a touchdown. If he stays healthy, it's his game. It's his backfield. Ramondre Stevenson had, I believe, some catches, 3 for 39. So if Damien Harris can't play, It's going to be Stevenson, but they like Stevenson as a James White role. They think he can be a receiver, a good one. But Damian Harris, if he's healthy, just play him. Kendrick Bourne had the one catch for 75 yards and a touchdown when Diggs got re-challenged, and it was so nice to see, not only from a Giants fan perspective, but just to shut up the people that think Trayvon Diggs is like prime time. Like, dude, he's not Deion Sanders. He's not. So just, you know, not hating on a guy. Just calm down a little bit. Jones looked good, though. I like Jones. You know, he's been showing he can push the ball down the field a little bit more. His average has been going up per game, per attempt. Jacoby Myers, hate to see it. Had a two-point conversion, but had a touchdown taken away when he beat the prime time, Trayvon Diggs. And Hunter Henry had a touchdown as well. So with the way tight ends are, if you have Hunter Henry, I talked about him last week, you're picking him up. I would still pick him up. He's a good red zone target. Probably one of the bigger bodies that they have in New England. Come on, Mike. Don't say that. I'll touch on the Ryan over Burrow in a sec. But yeah, you're still starting Meyer, 6 targets. I like him as a flex, especially PPRs, Wes Welker, Julian Edelman type player. So that is Cowboys. Dak Prescott had another 400-yard game, threw the ball 51 times, 3 TDs and a pick. Zeke had another Zeke-type game. He did Zeke had a touchdown? Zeke had no touchdown. He did have over 100 yards, 119, I should say. Tony Pollard, you know, not a Tony Pollard-esque game. He did have a total of about 63 yards, 3 catches. Blake Jarwin stole a touchdown from somebody. It happens. CeeDee Lamb had the game, though. Dalton Schultz again. Cooper, you know, 5 catches. Zeke, 7 catches. The Cowboys just, if he's going to throw the ball 51 times, you could start almost any Cowboys receiver and you're going to get points. Doesn't matter. CeeDee Lamb had his nice little breakout game, but it just, again, scares me. I could see them. If they're going to bye next week, but so it's probably not going to hurt them too much. But if they had a game next week and Dak threw the ball that many times, I could see them going run heavy the next week. So he's on a hot streak. The ball's finding him. I'm not taking that away from Trayvon Diggs, Mike. I'm not. But I just, coverage-wise, I don't think he's as good yet. You know, I looked at some interceptions earlier. Out of his 7 picks, I think 3 of them he jumped were legitimate. Like, he jumped the route, he undercut the route, he took inside position away from Keenan Allen on one of the slanter posts. Like, those were good. But Devontae Smith, the Kendrick Bourne, the Giants one with CJ Board, those, I think, you know, he was there. The one against the Bucks in week 1, it was a drop ball, bad throw by Brady, a little high. That's all I'm saying is out of his 7 interceptions, 3 of them I'd say were good coverages. He also got burned by Kadarius Toney. Toney put him on skates. You know, he got beat by Myers. That was called on a holding penalty. That would have been a touchdown. That could have changed the outcome of a game. And then again, the double move by Kendrick Bourne after he got intercepted. Mac Jones said, yeah, no, I got you, buddy. Like, second year player, Alabama, knows him, challenged him, beat him. I get it. The safety shouldn't have come down that quick, but you're trying to intercept the ball. I get it. You know, freak out, panic a little bit, but it is what it is. But yeah, if you want, Mike, go to the VOD, or it's going to be up on YouTube in a little bit. First 18-minute rant about Trayvon Diggs. Not denying the talent. He's talented. He's a professional athlete. I am not. I'm here doing this podcast out of my bedroom. So, but next we have the Sunday night game. It was a good game. Alex Collins had a really good game. Ended up leaving late with a hip injury. 20 carries for 101 and a touchdown. DK Metcalf led the team in receptions. He's just a freak. I wish he would have gotten a touchdown, but, you know, I'll take like 11 points I think I got out of him, or whatever the case may be. Unless the Seahawks end up signing Cam Newton, Pete Carroll said that they spoke with Cam and he's fully vaccinated now. So that could be an interesting dynamic for sure, to see how he does, because they won't they may not force Russ to come back right away then. But we'll see. They're under, you know, they're 2-4 in a tough division. Cardinals are 6-0. You know, the Rams are good. It's going to be tough. So we'll see. But this, he could also end up coming to the Giants next year. Be interesting. Big Ben, you know, looked better. He's just old. Najee Harris is the real deal. 24 for 81. Catches the ball a bunch too. 6 catches. Big games into him. All the receivers as well for Seattle. I don't like them with Geno Smith. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it. You rewatching. And let me know what you think. But I definitely downgrade a lot of the Seahawks receivers on the simple fact of it's Geno Smith. He has the potential to, you know, go big. Tyler Lockett has the potential to take a top off a defense, as is DK. Geno Smith is a strong arm. It's what they liked out of West Virginia when the Jets took him. So, you know, again, he hasn't started in 4 years since the whole Eli Manning situation. Deontay Johnson, 13 targets from the 2 he had last week. You love to see that if you're a Deontay Johnson owner. Also, if you need a tight end, Pat Freiermuth from Pittsburgh, 7 catches on 7 targets. He's going to take that Juju role of the shorter receptions. And then it's a crapshoot. You like Chase Claypool, bad matchup maybe, you know. He had 7 targets. He couldn't come down with a lot of them, only had 2 catches. So, and also, Mike, again, anybody who's listening to the podcast later, I am live on Twitch, so I'm interacting with the Twitch stream. Twitch, Facebook, wherever it may be. I show clips of all the interceptions as well on the screen, so you can kind of like look at them. I pause them after each one, kind of talk about it. But yeah, I'm really only if you have a Steelers player, the must starts are probably Najee and Deontay Johnson. Depending on bye weeks or however the case may be, Chase Claypool has shown you he can do great things, but there's also a reason that he was a number 3 option behind Juju. So just keep that in mind. Obviously, at least, you know, 7 targets. Only 2 catches. It was a good game, though. Steelers defense did well. TJ Watt, obviously the big strip sack fumble to end the game. And then last night's game, did not expect the Buffalo Bills to lose to the Tennessee Titans. Great game. Josh Allen did Josh Allen things. 3 touchdowns, 353 yards. Devin Singletary, they couldn't run. They couldn't establish a running game, at least from what I saw. Yeah, they were averaging good yardage per carry, but I still feel like it's got to see better. Very disappointed in Zach Moss. Thought he would have had a better game. He didn't, but this was a good Stephon Diggs game. You know, he had 11 targets, 9 catches. This was the game I thought he was going to do something, had a touchdown. Beasley had a nice little game as well, 7 catches, and Sanders did Sanders things. Sanders won my week this week for me. You know, he had 5 for 91, no touchdowns, had a touchdown, but I believe Josh Allen missed him. He didn't see him in the end zone. So Zach Moss did have 2 catches, though. You do like to see that. But again, just not really the best performance from the running backs from Buffalo. But again, their best rusher is probably their quarterback. Titans, Ryan Tannehill, you could probably not start him anymore. Derrick Henry, doing Derrick Henry things, man. 76-yard touchdown run, just 6'4", 6'5", 260 pounds of just man child. I don't even know. He's just not normal. He was made in a lab somewhere. 143 yards, 3 touchdowns. AJ Brown had food poisoning on Friday, I believe. So he came back, played well. 9 targets, 7 catches, 91 yards. Julio Jones left the game early again, had a crazy catch off of, I believe it was Micah Hyde's helmet. Super talented, but, you know, he's up there in age, 32. If you have Julio Jones, you're not probably starting him much anymore. You're only probably starting AJ Brown and Derrick Henry till Julio can show you some consistency. But that is it for the reviews. I do want to talk about some of my waiver priorities real quick. The top 3 people I like, if you can pick these guys up. Top 3 quarterbacks, Mac Jones, Tua, Taylor Heinicke. I still like Heinicke. still like Heinicke. Just you don't know with the hip injury with Fitzpatrick. I still think if you can stash him, stash him. If not, you know, it's fine. Not crazy good quarterbacks with bye weeks and stuff. People probably still have Derek Carr, all that good stuff. But I like Mac Jones and I like Tua. If you can get Tua because of the bye week and you can stash him away for if your quarterback's bye week's not here yet, I would do that because I think he's just going to get better as the season goes on. But those, this is all CBS ownership. I tried to do less than 50% or less. And then for running backs, I have Devontae Freeman, Ramondre Stevenson, and DJ Dallas. Homer for Seattle is their pass catcher. Ramondre Stevenson, if you don't have him, pick him up. He's their pass catcher. He's their James White role. They get behind. They're going to use him probably more than Damian Harrison. And they're going to probably try him running the ball if Damian Harris gets hurt. Now, I was just reading a message in the chat. Manager of the year, I sent away Waller. Don't judge you. Allaire for Goddard and Najee. Goddard is... I got to be in your league, man. I'm telling you. So as I was saying earlier in the episode, I had a dilemma with my dynasty league. I have Saquon Barkley and I needed a running back because all of my running backs are hurt. It's a 25 round dynasty league, 25 player dynasty league. So it was a long draft, but Saquon's out. And my other running back is Edmonds. So I'm like, I need somebody. I'm trying to trade Sutton. I'm trying to trade, you know, I'm even throwing Callaway out there. Anything. I have Sanders, but my starting, my running backs are J.K. Dobbins, Justice Hill, Anthony McFarlane, Travis Etienne. That's Samaje Perine had COVID. Like, you gotta be kidding me. I like Matt Ryan against Miami. The Jets pass defense has actually been good. And they had a week to prepare for this game because they were off last week. So I had 2 weeks to prepare and Samaje Perine had COVID. So I'm like, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? I'm looking through the waiver wire. I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm at a loss. Good old Devontae Freeman. I picked up Devontae Freeman. He got me a touchdown and 53 rushing yards. The best part about this, Latavius Murray is now hurt. Well, it's not good for Latavius Murray. I don't want anybody to be hurt. But I picked up Devontae Freeman, started him when nobody wanted him, and like I have Boston Scott as my other running back. Like, this is a deep league with 25 players per team. Like, what? It was a bad week, but the guy I was going up against had an even worse week. Mike Gesicki like won me my league pretty much, and Jalen Hurts on Thursday. So I got very, very fortunate with that. And now if Murray is out, I don't have to worry about putting in a claim or bidding or putting any up my auction because I got him for nothing. I just picked him up. He was available. So I got top priority ad and I didn't have to spend anything for him. So it's always a good day. For wide receivers for this week, I like Peoples Jones, Rashad Bateman, and Amon-Ra St. Brown from Detroit. The Dan Campbell news with changes coming though. He's the best receiver I think they have, next to Hockenson and Swift. Like, those are probably your top three pass catchers: St. Brown, Hockenson, and Swift. Rashad Bateman was targeted very well for coming back from his first game back. He did have, you know, some targets and some catches. He had 4 catches on 6 targets for 29 yards. You know, he had the foot surgery early in the offseason, missed a lot of time, but it's good to see him back. First round pick, I believe it was first round pick. They really like him. And it's going to be pretty much like him, Mark Andrews, and Marquise Brown. So, and Donovan Peoples-Jones, again, to drive home the fact of you don't know what's going on in Cleveland. You just don't know. And I like him. Like I said, big body, fast, has good hands, and has some rapport with Mayfield. And Mayfield, you're not going to tell me he trusts him after he throws a 57-yard Hail Mary in the end zone and he goes up and catches it. That goes a long way for a quarterback. So keep that in mind. He's probably, you know, if you can stash him, you're not going to start him right away. But if you hear, like, if Beckham's out again, or if Landry comes up like limp with a hamstring or something like that, just, you know, keep that in mind and stash him away if you can. If you have deeper leagues, you're 12 to 14 teams and you're looking for somebody, you know, he's somebody to keep an eye on. Didn't do kickers or DSTs this week, but tight ends, as long as Logan Thomas is out, I think Ricky Seals-Jones is probably the top tight end you want to target, as well as Mo Alie-Cox. Again, I said it last week, and I think the week before that, that he's somebody to take a look at. Carson Wentz likes tight ends. He liked it when he was in Philadelphia. He's going to like them here. Definitely not, you know, Jack Doyle who? And then here's a thought. So Travis Ertz, Dallas Goedert and Zach Ertz. Zach Ertz plays on Thursday, gets traded on Friday to the Cardinals. Dallas Goedert's their number one tight end now in Philadelphia. The thing is with that is they were looking to trade one of them during the offseason, and they couldn't. So they keep both of them. It does well because then you don't know who's getting the ball. I think Goddard's contract is up at the end of this season. So if you're in a dynasty league, this is pure dynasty. They took a kid, Tyree Jackson. They like him. He was hurt. He's just coming back off of injury. Take a look at him now, because they really like him. And I think Goddard's contract is actually up this year, though. Yeah. They really like Tyree Jackson. They might not even re-sign Goddard. So if you're in a deeper league, take a look at him. He's owning 0%. I hope nobody here from my dynasty league is looking at this. I have Pitts and Gesicki in my dynasty league. I might look at this guy, because if Goddard's gone, that's another tight end in Philadelphia. I'm just saying. Young, good player, big body, obviously tight end. So, and no, he doesn't have a tight end. He plays tight end. Came out all wrong. I wouldn't know. Anyway, yeah, so those are some of my waivers. Take a look real quick at chat, see what's going on. If I don't have an open spot for Ryan, do I risk dropping Jones for a week? I think you could drop Jones. I think after the 3-interception performance and playing another good defense, you can get away with dropping Daniel Jones and still being able to pick him up next week. Because I think when he plays Carolina, it's going to be another tough matchup. They're going to, because they have the corners, they have Stephon Gilmore, you know, they have the kid from Jacksonville he traded for. So, you know, the only person I think they have a wide receiver right now is Shepard. I don't know if Galladay's playing in Ingram. Like, they have nobody at receiver, nobody on their line. I think you could definitely drop Daniel Jones for Matt Ryan this week and be able to pick him up for sure. I don't doubt it. But yeah, like I said, I appreciate you guys coming by. I'm going to get this episode out if you want to listen to it again. Obviously, you guys don't have to. Mike, if you want to rewatch, you can, or it's going to be on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify Podcast within the next couple minutes. So you can always listen to it there. But on YouTube and on my VOD on Twitch and VOD on Facebook, you will be able to see the videos that I showed as well in regards to Trayvon Diggs and my little soapbox that I had earlier today. So we'll see what happens. The next Stream King should be, I'm going to try to have something either tomorrow or Thursday to try to figure some stuff out, but definitely Friday I'm trying. I got to check with the boss, with the wife, to make sure I'm not doing anything. If we're not, you know, on Friday, I'll try to get one out on Friday. If not, then I'll try to do some stuff, you know, later in the week. But again, if you want to know when I go live or when I'm planning on doing it, Twitter, sports underscore euphoria,
Instagram, sports_euphoria. YouTube is just Sports Euphoria. You can search the Facebook page, Sports Euphoria. And yeah, you'll be able to get notified when I go live. Or, you know, King, I think you follow the channel, so you get notified when I go live either way on Twitch. But there is going to be some other ones this week as well. But yeah, I appreciate you guys coming by. I'm going to go ahead and get this stuff out to you guys to consume in other ways. And I'm going to check out my other buddy's podcast on that he's doing live now. He's going to be finishing it up, but I'm going to try to see what their takes are on some stuff. Stack Attack Fantasy Podcast. They do fantasy football and fantasy baseball. They're great guys over there. I was on one of their episodes a couple weeks back. But they're pretty cool. You know, one of the hosts and Mimi went to high school with him. Good friend. He's in a ton of leagues as well as Scott Fishbowl League. He's in that. So he has some good stuff. He was able to get into there. But yeah, guys, I'll get this all up and out, and appreciate it. You guys have a great night. Have a great day. Have a great week. Later.